The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. It does settle in your soul. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How you doing, brother?
I am doing fine.
Good. And Travis, our producer.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
And we are here on Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting from downtown Reading at KCNR. 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and we are archived forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. By the way, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's
everybody.
Day, all you
happy
moms.
Mother's Day.
All you moms, yeah.
All the moms.
And to the dads who also raise some kids as a single parent.
Yeah, but that's Dad's Day in June.
Well, you know, you might. Well, I was a single parent of four kids, so I sort of had the maternal instincts as well. So
there you go.
So, you know, my daughters do celebrate Mother's Day with me. But,
I knew there was there something I liked about you.
It's my feminine side,
that's
Barry.
That's Sean Northam. He's our guest this morning.
Good morning.
And he is an attorney. We're going to be talking about the DA's office. This is a very, very important program. I would suggest, if you're listening to this, to share.
Absolutely.
And also go to the archives on this. And we're not going to waste a lot of time here with Sean because there's so much information we want to go through. There's been some things said by Stephanie Bridget, which, well, let's just say they're a bit of a stretch.
So hashtag not true.
You got it, brother. All right. Well, so, Sean, what say you, sir?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys. How are you? And just want to say thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate the time to talk to you guys and to talk to some people and hopefully reach out and put some light on the darkness that has become the Shasta County District Attorney's Office mm-hmm. and the toxicity that that office has permeated and really just brought into the courthouse itself. And so I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to expose Stephanie Bridget and the truth. And I'm super excited to actually talk about facts. That's what I like to deal with. I deal with facts, you know, and so not you know, there's no agenda here to sort of mislead the public. In fact, I think recently at a Board of Supervisors meeting, there was a gentleman who said, you know, don't listen to the other lawyers, don't listen to Sean Northam, and there's been some stuff on social media about I'm apparently on the payroll of somebody. If somebody can please figure that out, because I would really like a big raise so I can I can do some more jeeping and whitewater rafting traveling abroad. So, yeah, if there's some money in it somewhere, please somebody let me know. But, you know, it's the idea that it's the smoke and mirrors, right? It's the Wizard of Oz. And when we start talking about stuff that's going on in the courthouse, the facts that are going on, there's actual facts. It's easy to go get. And there was some social media post where Kelly Caple said I was on the payroll, and somebody's like, well, how could he know the facts of the DA's office? And the guy at the Board of Supervisors was like, well, you know, don't listen to other lawyers. You know what? Don't listen to me. Go educate yourself.
Get the information.
I'm begging you to go do your due diligence. You know, I may get a little sidetracked here, but I think one of the things where we've gone awry in America and American culture, and I live in California, born and raised, is that we've become sort of apathetic. And we now trust Siri and Google, to deliver the information to us. You know, back when I was growing up, when I was knee high to a grasshopper, I got to read Reader's Digest. We had Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yep, yep.
And you could do your own research on things. And, one of the areas where I sort of excelled in law school, is research. And it's digging and it's investigating. So I would highly encourage all of your listeners to Don't just take my freaking word for it. Go look at the information. Go dig it up. It's not hard. Just to touch base on the trial statistics that Stephanie apparently says are completely wrong, what I brought with me here today is three of the four binders that I got from the Judicial Council of California. I'm kind of holding those up for you guys. It is the court statistics report. It's about 170 pages. It's a lot.
Now, one thing I think that...
Each one.
And I think the important thing about this is that this is information you've gotten, and this information, you've got the sources and the facts. Go ahead, my friend.
No, absolutely, Terry. I'm not stating opinions here. These are actual hardcore data where I have took it upon myself to go through the proper channels, make the request, and then I got the information back. And so, for example, where I've I'll pass these out to you guys. I've got some notes here. Pass it over to Wynn. But the 2020 felony case stat summary. So there's 4 years that we talked about, the 65%, the 55%, sort of the decline in numbers, right, on felony dispositions. Those numbers and those stats, that data comes directly from the Judicial Council of California's court statistics report. And so let me just sort of break down what happens. So I know Steffi's talking about this e-prosecutor program that she's got. She's super happy because now they can keep tabs on things. Well, again, it's I think Steffi being disingenuous to the voting public. You know, she's preying upon sort of the psychology they talked about earlier where people don't really take the time to dig into stuff, right? And so she's essentially spoon-feeding them Kool-Aid and saying, hey, don't ask questions like that guy, the board supervisor. Don't listen to other people. I'm not super heavy into politics. I don't get into political labels and things like that. But I think where you have a governmental official telling you to sit down and shut up, don't ask questions, don't pull the curtains back, don't look behind the mirrors, just here, have another sip of this Kool-Aid I'm drinking. You know, to me, that's suspicious, right?
You think?
A little bit. Actually, I try not to think too much. It hurts my brain, Terry. But, you know, I mean, there's certain political ideologies and political parties that have traditionally subscribed to the notion of, hey, we're government, we're going to tell you what to do, we're going to tell you what's best for you. And that's not really what our country was founded upon. I mean,
right.
At least in my view of the founding fathers and the Constitution. And, you know, our country was predicated upon and founded upon these principles of limited government, right? And that the people are responsible for the country, right? The people own the country. The people own the government. And we've, you know, in the last 40, 50, 60 years, this becomes this thing where government's become this behemoth, right? It's taken over. And the people need to take the country back, you know, and I absolutely, TJ, Thomas Jefferson, talked about at some point it is manifest upon the people to revolt if government's out of control. And I'm, you know, tree-hugging, whatever you want to call it. I don't really use labels, but I love love. And so for me, I think it's time for a peaceful rebellion where people are doing exactly what democracy says, right, where you get a voter initiative, where you get on the ballot and you vote. That, to me, is democracy in action, right? That is the U.S. Constitution.
But when there's corruption.
When there is corruption, then people need to ramp up the game, right? And that's where you really need to become, to use a pun, a sovereign citizen and say, I'm going to do my due diligence. It's now coming upon me. Because if I'm sitting back watching a crime occur, you know, am I an aider and abettor under the law? Probably not. But do I have a moral and ethical obligation to get involved? I believe that I do. I mean, just my own personal ideology says, yeah, I'm not going to stand by and watch somebody become victimized. And so when you look at Stephanie and the psychology of the average voter, and what Stephanie's saying is, don't pull the curtains back. Don't look beyond the smoke and mirrors. Just trust what I'm telling you. Here's my e-prosecutor program. We've got all these numbers for you. And the person on social media said, well, how does Mr. Northam, how does he have access to those numbers? Well, it's called a FOIA, F-O-I-A, Freedom of Information Act request. The Judicial Council, as I talked about, every year, every Superior Court in the 58 counties of California are required to compile data, and it's for a fiscal year, so from June to June. And what happens is, and this is all in the quote-unquote law, I always think of that Judge Dredd quote, right, from Sylvester Stallone,
yep. I am the law.
Such a cheesy lie, but it's so well delivered. So these stats, this data goes to the Judicial Council of California, who then compiles this report. And this report that I'm holding, these three, I have four of them, but these three binders for each fiscal year, goes to the legislature. So the legislature can see how are our California courts doing. And so.
And that's per county.
Per county.
So they get 58 of those.
Well, it's all compiled when, sorry, so all 58 counties send in all their Superior Court data.
And all the data goes into that.
It's synthesized into this binder.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
So what I've done is spent a lot of time going through 2018, 2019, 2020, and 2021, mm-hmm. pulling up all the pages, all the stats, right? So, for example, on page one where I have this 2020 felony case stat summary, on felony dispositions, page 130, if I go to the binder and I go to page 130, I then see felony dispositions by outcome and county. And you go down to Shasta, and you've got total filings. Let me get my glasses on. It's a little bit better. I'm getting older now. Maybe not more mature, but certainly older. Total filings, 1,869. Total dispositions, 2,090. Of the 2,090 dispositions, there was 1,361 felony convictions. So on my numbers, I took 1,361 felony convictions and divided that by 2,090 total dispositions.
Get your percent,
yeah. And you get 65%. It's not rocket science, right?
Right.
But somehow,
right.
And I've done it for every year for the last 4 or 5 years. And what you see is horrible, horrible numbers coming out of Stepping Bridget's office. And what Stepping wants to do is, you know, you shoot the messenger, right?
Yeah.
She can't. I used this, I think, the other day at the Board of Supervisors where, you know, when we're in trial, there's this old cliche. If you don't have facts, you argue the law. If you don't have law, you argue the facts. If you don't have both, you appeal to emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the pitchforks out. Let's get the torches out. And that is what Stephanie's doing. She's, you know, engaging us all this hyperbole and, you know, the social media stuff about, you know, north and this and north and that. And, you know, I've been called Voldemort. You know, that guy's got some power, but I mean, really. But I'm not a magician. So it's just getting back to basic facts. And if people, and I would encourage everybody's out there, please, 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 don't drink my Kool-Aid. Don't take my word for it. Go look this stuff up. It's the Judicial Council of California. You can do a FOIA request to the Superior Court of Shasta County. And what you will get from them are the numbers that I've given out, right? I think,
right.
Terry, you had them.
Yep.
And it's, again, it's not rocket science. It's actual raw data. These aren't inside numbers. We don't need e-prosecutor to tell us how many times Stephanie Bridges lost a felony jury trial. It's a lot. Because those numbers came from the CEO. And I think, Terry, you mentioned this last week.
Yeah, Melissa Fowler Bradley.
Yeah, so.
The Shasta County Superior Court.
Yeah, she is the chief executive officer.
Yeah, she is.
She runs the show over there. Right?
Yeah.
And so if you do a FOIA request there and say, please give me the felony jury trial data
all right here
for the last 5 years.
Unbelievable.
Guess what she'll do?
Yep.
She'll send you an email.
Yes.
With a spreadsheet.
Yes.
And it will have all the felony jury trials, all the misdemeanor jury trials, and you can do some simple math, and you'll see exactly what's been going on in the last 5 years.
And it's all the same data that's in those binders that you have there.
So it pretty much is.
Because it's reported from her to the state.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's a good point, Wynn. The overall trial numbers that are reported to the state are slightly different because of a different metric that's used. For example, if one defendant goes to trial with, say, three separate cases,
mm-hmm.
that gets calculated at a differently at the state level than it does for the Superior Court level.
Okay.
But that's really getting, I think, too far afield because what we're talking about here is where this matters is public safety and taxpayer dollars.
Right, I'd like to ask you about the Brady violations and explain that to the folks what a Brady violation is. And I think, aren't we like leading the league in Brady violations? Or
whoa.
You know,
That's awesome.
Are doing really, really well, if you want to use that term, in terms of smoke in the field, really, the rest of the game.
And what is a Brady violation?
Okay, so Brady is a term that we use in criminal law. And Brady says this, that the government has an affirmative obligation. So, in other words, the government is duty-bound. And we're going to talk about this in a second, a little more in-depth. But the government has to actively provide information to the defense that will assist the defense if it goes to guilt, if it will somehow impact sentencing, or somehow impact the credibility of witness. So if there's some evidence that is favorable to the defense, under Brady, the DA has to turn it over.
And they're obligated to do that.
So the prosecution...
Yes, yes.
So the prosecution has been suppressing evidence favorable to the defendant's...
100%. They got 10 cases. We're going to get to all 10 because I know Steffi's running around saying she only has one Brady violation. I have each case number documented. I have all the facts for the Brady violation. So we're going to talk about that. Cause,
well, we've got about 10 minutes to break, brother.
Okay, let's start rolling.
All right.
So what I want to do when is, yeah.
So they're morally, ethically, and legally obligated to share that information.
Yes. Absolutely. And okay. So here's the thing. The U.S. Constitution has certain amendments, which I happen to super love, right? Mm-hmm. And so from a purely constitutional standpoint, don't we want a fair playing arena?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't we want the government to say, here's all the evidence, let's see where the cards fall?
God-given rights. You right? betcha. You betcha.
And Steffi has, I've got a little thing here. She's campaigned on this idea that she has, of course, when I want it, I can't have it. Here we go. So she left these flyers, right, that she is seeking, on her mission statement, on her website, quote, she's dedicated to seeking the truth through fair, honest, and ethical prosecution. And then she left a flyer saying that she is victim-focused prosecutor, two decades of criminal jury trial experience, 5 years of executive management and leadership experience, and we're going to talk about this stuff because this is more smoke and mirrors. And when we talk about justice, I'm going to work in a reverse order. The most recent case that I personally had was a case of People v. Jacob Pollings, where the DA's office, once again, what the DA's office has done the last 5 years under Stephanie Bridget is say, well, we told the defense there may be some reports out there, so it's the defense's burden to go get those reports. That is a complete misunderstanding of the law. That's not the law. And so from 5 years ago till now, so 2-3 weeks ago, another Jacob Pollings case, a domestic violence case I had, a young prosecutor who, when questioned by the judge, why didn't you do this, said, well, I'm still new here. So where is Steffi Bridges' training program for new prosecutors? She's got all these social programs she's doing out in the community, collecting jeans and collecting toys. Well, the Hells Angels collect toys too. So, okay.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they do.
Yes, they do.
And so we're supposed to give Steffi some big kudos for collecting toys for Todd. Yes, children should never go without. I get that. So I'm not demeaning that point.
Yeah.
My point is, you know, she's breaking her arm, patting herself on the back, asking for likes and social media kudos when, yeah, what you've done is abdicate the throne when it comes to public safety and wasting taxpayer dollars. So it's moving the hands because Steffi's like, look what I've done over here in this community with these elderly folks. Well, look what your office has done the last 5 years. You've 10 cases that have either been dismissed, thrown out, gotten acquittals on, or otherwise had some sanction by the court because you're not being ethical. So you can go spend $8,000 to $9,000 on a social media consultant, but go bitch and complain. Sorry, go complain at the Board of Supervisors that you're understaffed. Well, why don't you take that $90,000 and hire another lawyer?
Yeah.
Instead, you're making TikTok videos and Instagram videos and doing all this fluffy stuff that makes you all feel good and cozy, but you're not protecting the public, right?
Right.
She's not. And not only are you not protecting the public, you're wasting thousands and hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars because your deputies, you're not training, and they keep violating Brady.
Do the people feel safer?
No. Right? No. Because they're not. I mean, that's the bottom line is, if you ask Steffi, everything's hunky-dory in Shasta County in the courthouse, right? It's all good. Just vote for her. And I love and appreciate that her employees are coming to Board of Supervisors meetings going, we work really hard. And it's become this victim mentality. Poor us, right? Mm-hmm. We're working super hard. Yeah, well, okay, you're working hard but screwing over the Constitution. So should you get kudos for that because you're putting extra hours violating the very fundamental precepts of our country when we switched over from England to have a defendant not have to prove himself innocent? It's now the government's burden. We're not going to dogpile on the defense. We're going to turn over favorable evidence, right?
Right.
Well, your office is working really hard not to do that.
Well, wasn't there a case recently, and there's somebody who she had, one of her assistant DAs, that really kind of screwed the pooch?
No, her chief deputy district attorney, Ben Hanna.
That's the guy, Christopher
McCadden. And there's some photograph, and we're going to get to Ben and Ian Frazier because Steffi has this PG&E. Here's a photo, right? So I'm holding up this photograph of Steffi Bridget at a September 24th, 2021 news conference, and the gentleman to Steffi's far right is called Ian Frazier. Ian Frazier I just think of that song, Notorious, from Duran Duran. But Ian Frazier has amassed 3 Brady violations by himself.
Wow.
He's been a prosecutor for 2 years, Harry. So he went, of course, the curious thing about is Ian used to work at Workers' Comp. And so all this...
Oh,
all this,
and Stephanie's been saying, why would you ever want a Workman's Comp?
Why would you want somebody
to run for DA?
Right. They,
oh, my gosh.
They can't do that.
Oh.
And so, it, again, the public doesn't know, but it's more just, it's more disingenuousness and misleading the public intentionally. Kind of like what I believe that Mr. Hanna did in the Christopher McCann case, where, you know, Ben's not stupid. So if you look at the error that he made, where he convinced the court to misinstruct the jury, and so the court adopted Ben's legal analysis.
To lie to the jury?
No, not, he misled the jury. So.
That's a lie, isn't it?
You know,
anyway, keep going.
We have
4 minutes.
Okay, what I'll say is this. So when it comes to jury instructions, that's the law. The jury gets instructed that this is the law. Ben convinced the judge to adopt Ben's interpretation of the law. Now, again, Ben is no, so you're either an idiot if you misunderstood the law, or it's a calculated, far more nefarious mental strategy to say, to shift the law, which is going to ensure yourself a stronger likelihood of conviction. And it worked. It worked at trial. What happened, though? The case went up on review, and the defense attorney, Josh Brown, did a great job of arguing against this modification. And the Third District Court of Appeals said, yeah, not so fast, buddy. You misled the jury, and the error was so great and so prejudicial, you're going to get a new trial because you really screwed the pooch on this one. So guess what, Shasta County? And that case, actually, I think is going to trial next week or something like that. It's coming up for a retrial. But
and is Hannah in charge of that?
Yep.
So is that open to the public?
It sure is.
So we could go watch him go round 2 on this one that he's got to be honest with?
Absolutely. You can see your taxpayer dollars in action for the second time.
Second time.
Yeah.
Is there any other relations that he has in the DA's office?
His wife, Kelly Capel, works in the DA's office.
What does she do?
She is a senior, senior attorney who I think oversees oversees felony trials or something like that.
And they're married and they're working both as ADAs?
To be technical.
Technical,
So Ben is the chief deputy district attorney. Okay. Stephanie is what we would call, Kelly is what's called a supervising deputy district attorney. In other words, she's senior management over there.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know the sort of the internal structure, but it's Steffi's number 1, Ben's number 2, and then you've got probably several sort of number 3s down there where Kelly is one of those.
Is that policy that you have married couples in the DA's office? Is that
I mean,
I wonder if that's...
Well, one would be
that's a little odd.
Subordinate to the other.
Well, that would be correct, and I suppose if, and I don't know the actual rules on this, but if, you know, Stephanie is out of the office on whatever she's doing, then obviously the number 2 is in charge, right? And then the number 2 would be directly supervising all the underlings underneath him, which would include his wife, which creates, you know.
No pun intended. It is Mother's
Day. That was the good
one. It is Mother's Day.
I love cerebral humor. 1 minute. So when do we get back? So Ian Frazier, and let me just name these cases. So it's People v. Justin Joel, 20F2719. People v. Neil Babcock, 19M499. And People v. Michael Davis, 21F5207. And in Davis, there was an actual Brady violation that was found. And the court excluded a testimony as a sanction because the DA's office didn't do what they're supposed to do. And Justin Joel, I have the opinion on that one too. Ian Frazier, we should pick this up when we get back, because I got to tell you, he did some really dastardly stuff in that case.
Well, we'll do that for about the first 5 minutes when we get back.
Yeah, we can move. Yeah.
And then we're going to play something called Stop the Tape, because we have Stephanie Bridget speaking, and we can stop the tape. And
I'm excited. And I don't know if you can tell. I'm super excited to play that
actually,
one. Yeah. Well, you know, I challenged her to a debate online, right? Her whole office.
Right.
They've not accepted.
I asked ADA Weber to come on the show, and he hasn't answered me yet, so we'll see. Anyway, we're going to go off to our first and only break, and time has come.
4:51.
Let's get it done.
Amen. All right, do it. Send it.
Dance good for teaching how to pitch and throw a curveball. some things that they can do just right. But I'm sitting here missing mama tonight. She's got a marked up King James heart of gold. Got too much on her plate, but never lets it show. And she put her blood, sweat, and tears in her raising me.
Thirty years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Now, Matt, I hear we're kind of in a mortgage boom right now. Can you tell us more about the benefits of possible refinancing your home right now?
So the thing right now that is different with refinancing ever in history, rates are at an all-time low, values are at an all-time high. So right now, people are able to lower their interest rate and get rid of mortgage insurance.
Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomenon, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Get Travis's attention. You got some good moves there, buddy. You got soul. You need to turn your mic up, though.
Rally song. It's a good song.
Can't hear you, brother. Awesome.
Keep it going, Travis. I like it.
You got a future, man.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere.
That's resonating deep within my soul right now, buddy.
Good, yep. Good. Welcome back, everybody. This is Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading, KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, as you just heard. 1460 AM, your talk radio, streaming live, KCNR1460.com, and archived forever. Now, we're here with Sean Northam, and Sean has a couple of quick things he'd like to bring up about Mr. Frazier.
Yeah, Ian Frazier. Let's get back to Ian.
Ian Frazier.
I think it's important when the voters look at, you know, some of the claims about Eric Jensen and some of the stuff his deputy said, well, you know, the guy doesn't know a single thing about criminal law. He doesn't know this. He doesn't know that. Well, you know, you don't actually need to know criminal law to do this job. We're not talking about rocket science here, man. We're not building ships to Mars, right? We're talking about the Constitution, which anyone can read, should read, should own a copy of it.
Yep.
Live it, breathe it, because democracy in action, what we're doing every day is the Constitution. I think that we don't, we've become a culture that's been placated and complacent, and we don't really appreciate the freedoms that we have. And I'm sure if you went and talked to the folks over in Ukraine, and even Russian citizens whose leader and government is out of control, that if there was a constitution and a democracy that could put that leader in check, those people would be like, we vote for that constitution. So I think we're very blessed and very grateful to live in a country where, you know, many hundreds of years ago, we had some folks who had the foresight to change things. And not just the foresight. Let's talk about courage, right? Because mm-hmm. it takes courage to stand up and voice an opinion against the crowd with pitchforks and torches, right? And so, you know, with Ian Fraser, let me wrap this up. He has three separate Brady violations. And I talked about some of the dastardly stuff that he did in this case where there was a carjacking case, and initially the victim had told the cops the two knives in the victim's car belong to the victim, right? This is People v. Justin Joel, 20F2719. So Ian finds out from one of the coppers that, in fact, the knife did not belong to the defendant, it belonged to the victim. And what does Ian do with that information? He doesn't, one, disclose it to the defense right away.
Wow.
Doesn't tell the court right away. And then once he was armed with that information, he cross-examined the public defender investigator who had gotten a statement from the victim, admitting that, in fact, no, those were my knives, they didn't belong to the defendant. And Ian went after that public defender investigator, just tore him up,
man.
And created the smoke and mirrors. Like, the public defender investigator was dishonest, was lying, made up this report about the victim saying that the knife belonged to the victim, and it was all bullshit, sorry. And Ian knew that. I mean, the guy is super, super, dishonest, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know how you go into court and you argue and try and create this impression in front of a jury knowing you're lying. You're creating a misimpression. And the judge said, this is Judge Wood in the opinion, page 14, lines 7 through 12 of the transcript of her opinion, because I like facts, is also concerning that after the people gained knowledge, so the people being Ian Fraser, gained knowledge that one of the officers had failed to include this exculpatory information that the knives belonged to the victim, not the defendant, and failed to disclose this during that officer's testimony trial, the people did not tell the court or disclose it to the defense. So Fraser knew about it, the cop knew about it, and Ian, Mr. Fraser, has an ethical responsibility to say, time out, guys. Whoa. Yeah. Stop the presses. We got it wrong. Mea culpa. I'm sorry. I just found this out. We're going to dismiss that allegation. Not only did Ian, Mr. Fraser, not do that, he then tried to keep that arming allegation intact.
Wow.
It's so dirty. Oh, so this was litigated, and in fact the judge said the prosecution has an obligation under rules of conduct rule 3.8 to properly disclose to the court any evidence that a defendant did not commit a criminal offense. This information should have been immediately brought forward to the court, which was not done. Page 15, lines 20 through 20 script. Sorry, page 15, I'm too excited, I'm just, that's man. Okay. Page 15, lines 20 through 26 of the transcript of the ruling. Now, Ian Fraser should have been sent to state bar because he violated the rules of court, violated the rules of conduct, and I don't believe that he was sent to the state bar. But when you have a prosecutor doing this kind of intentional misleading, it's disgusting, Terry. It's just disgusting.
What do you mean by sent to the state bar?
So when lawyers commit ethical violations, mm-hmm. those get referred to the state bar. So this
holds true for the DA's office too, doesn't it?
Well, it's supposed to, yeah, it should.
Supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, I got sent to the state bar because back in 2015, when we do your online renewal, I didn't check a box saying I did my education. I did my education. I didn't check the box. And so I was technically suspended without knowing it, and I appeared in court.
Oh.
But, so that was my suspension, right? That was my ethics violation. Yeah. Somebody brought it up and said, well, he's been suspended before. Yeah, because I didn't check a freaking box.
So, on the renewal application.
My online renewal, yeah. Yeah. I forgot, as you may have seen, so, sometimes you get a little squirreled. You know, sometimes I got some ADHD issues. I'm going to own it right now. So, and go ahead.
So let me get this straight. Okay, Stephanie Bridges, right-hand guy, is a former workman's comp attorney, whom Stephanie Bridget and all her ads are saying, gee whiz, you certainly don't want a workman's comp attorney in the DA's office or being the DA. That's one. Number two, these violations, she's got 10 of these, and these are all done under her tutelage.
Right.
And so You know, I think we're ready for stop the tape, because I think you're going to have a lot of fun for this, unless you have one more thing.
No, I think I just want to clarify. So Stebby Bridges' right-hand guy is Ben Hanna. Ben's the one that screwed up the McCadden case and then screwed up the prosecution of Dr. Hamid Rabin.
Oh, my gosh.
But in the photo I'm holding up from September 24th, Steffi handpicked Ian Frazier to be part of the A-team on this PG&E prosecution.
Oy vey.
Ian Frazier being having three Brady violations on his own. So when you talk about building a team and being a coach and being a manager,
right,
and picking your upper management, your coaching staff. I mean, I'm going to baseball right now, even though I really like football. You've got the coach or the manager, and you've got assistant coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Stephanie puts together this team, and one of her top assistant managers is a guy who's violated the Constitution three separate times. What does that show about Stephanie's intellect or her finger on the pulse of her office? I think it shows that she either A, just doesn't care about ethics, contrary to what she says on her website, right? Real quick, one more point. She talks about justice. So on that Jacob Pauline's case that just got dismissed a few weeks ago, Stephanie Bridges has now retaliated against that judge, and her office has basically recused that judge four separate times. So that judge can't hear any trials. So we have an empty trial court that's clogging up the system now, and taxpayer dollars are being expended and wasted because cases are getting moved around this little bubble because Stephanie Bridges got her feelings hurt and got butt hurt.
Wow.
So that's her mentality.
Wow.
So stop the tape. Let's do it.
Well, we've got Dolores. We have to be really quick because we've got a segment we need to do. So what do you have really quick, Dolores?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think Stephanie Bridges does, says that they don't want workers' comp, public defender. A DA in the office. She just wants people who are willing to break the law.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dolores. We've got to go to this segment.
So you say criminals should apply.
That's it. Criminals should apply. That's okay.
Yeah, if you don't believe in the Constitution, join Stephanie Bridges' office.
No more coffee for you. Time for whiskey.
Irish whiskey.
Irish whiskey.
Or Scotch.
Or Scotch.
Scotch. I love Scotch.
In a football game. All right. Anyway, we are going to start Stop the Tape. This was done May the 3rd, I believe, and this is Stephanie Bridges. And shoot away, would you?
Facebook is right all the time.
Oh, Facebook is always right, right?
They're talking about percentage of convictions, and they're saying they're dropping. Can you comment on this?
So here's what I want to say is that I've heard so many different numbers being thrown out about statistics. I have heard that numbers go up, numbers going down, and I've also heard that when
wait,
you're looking
wait, stop the tape. Sorry. So where is she hearing all these numbers? So many numbers. There's two sources, Stephanie Bridges. You've got the Shasta County Superior Court FOIA request. And that's in a spreadsheet, and those numbers go down, and not only do those numbers go down in the 5 years since you've been your executive management leadership, Stephanie Bridges, but coincidentally or not, during that same time, you lost 17 attorneys. So what's happened is, I don't think it takes a mathematician to figure out that when you lose 17 lawyers and your numbers go down, who is leaving your office? The good lawyers, right? But you're going to claim that it's overstaffing and low morale, so we need more prosecutors. But what are more prosecutors going to get you? More poor trial numbers. So, I don't know where she says numbers going up, numbers going down, because, again, the judicial counsel numbers that I've quoted and cited all are very clear, and the data backs it up, and the FOIA request is pretty clear. So two sources of numbers. Nothing's going up, they're just going down.
Yeah, and after all, we had a pretty good source on that, didn't we?
I think the CEO of a corporation who's in charge of keeping stats. Oh, here we go. I found the sheets. One of her job duties is to keep statistical information about jury trials. And so I'm now pulling this up, and
even has a name.
She does. Or three names, Melissa Feller Bradley. But again, you go back to 2016, 2017, and that's sort of the first half year of Bridges' tenure of leadership, right? Steve Carlton, rest in peace, was there. So that's the highest number that Stephanie Bridges has ever experienced in Philly jury trial convictions, and that was a 68%. Actually, that was misdemeanors. I'm sorry. That was 70% on felonies. Now, the next year, the next full year under Stephanie Bridges' leadership, what happened? A 2% decline, 68%. Then the second full year under Stephanie Bridges' leadership. So really, where you want to see a coach taking over a team, you want to see some good positive feedback, you want to see the playoffs being made, right? Oh, drop down to 55%. Brutal. Then you think, okay, unless it's the New York Jets football team, right? Maybe there's some hope. So then the next year, what do you get? You get a whopping 46%. And then last year, what do you get? 45%. So maybe it's Stephanie's Neverland World, the Wizard of Oz. Her numbers are going up, but because she's manipulating them through her e-prosecutor program.
Well, you're going to like this next part.
I do it.
Roll the tape.
At and trying to calculate statistics, they're saying, okay, well, let's not look at plea bargains. Let's only look at trials. And let's only look at trials where there was a conviction on count one, but not on count two.
Stop the tape. So, Steffi doesn't really want us to look at those trials, that where there's a conviction on count one, not count two. Because if we pulled those numbers back, and by the way, Stephanie Bridges has this data. I know she's not releasing it, but she has every single case that went to trial, and she has all the verdict forms. If you use the metric she just talked about, she has a whopping 80% loss rate. So flip the script.
Are you kidding?
No, Terry, I'm not kidding you. So I know these numbers. Stephanie has them. And it's funny she actually brought them out because it's funny she brought this metric out. Because if you use that metric where, for example, the easiest example is a stolen car. Someone goes to trial on a stolen car, they're almost always charged with receiving stolen property. It's a fallback position. It's a plan B, right? So if you take 50 trials, 50 stolen cars, 80% of the time, so 5 times 8 is 40, it's count two, they're being convicted of receiving stolen property. Now, is there still a conviction? Yes. Are you losing the main charge? Yes. Are you getting your ass beat? Yes. So if you use that metric, it's not. It's even worse for her. But if you just look at the rod, so I don't know why she would bring that up because...
Oh, man. Well, it gets better.
Okay, let's keep going.
Roll the tape.
Roll
all of these qualifiers on everything I'm hearing out there. That is the fundamental problem with statistics. People can make a statistic say whatever they want to say.
Stop tape.
Bingo.
Hello, Stephanie Bridges. What are you doing to the voting public with your e-prosecutor program? My God, man. I feel like I'm living the Jerry Seinfeld bizarro world right now, where if every intuition Stephanie has is wrong, then certainly everything must be right.
Start the tape.
Here is the reality of criminal prosecution, is that we are involved in finding justice one case at a time.
Pause. Finding justice one case at a time. That means screwing over taxpayer dollars, screwing over the Constitution. What does justice mean to Stephanie Bridges? That's the fundamental question, right? Because on one of her flyers, she says, continue to promote justice through education. Okay, well, justice and education don't really go together. Education is education. You don't create justice by educating people. So I don't, but again, if I'm drinking Stephanie's Kool-Aid, it sure sounds good to me, right? Go.
Case at a time based on the facts of that case, in that case alone, in the law as it applies to that case.
Pause. So, what happened with Jacob Pauling's recently, where Stephanie Bridges, that case, not only did her team never acknowledge the Brady violations, of which there were multiple ones, they came back in the next day and railed on the judge for upholding the Constitution. Now, maybe I like Irish whiskey, maybe I like scotch. I haven't had it yet this morning, but hopefully later this afternoon I'm going to have some mimosas for Mother's Day. But let's talk about this stuff. The Constitution says you have to turn over all favorable evidence. Justice means if the court says you blew it, you violated the Constitution, I'm going to dismiss this case. Isn't that justice? You may not like it, but isn't that justice?
Roll the tape.
Yep.
I never want anyone in my office who's a prosecutor to think, wow, if I get a conviction on this case, it's going to help my career because it's going to increase the office conviction rate or it's going to increase my personal conviction rate. And therefore, I'm only going to take cases to trial or I'm only going to file and fight for victims if it is a slam dunk case.
Stop. Stephanie, the way the cases get filed, it gets submitted to the DA's office. somebody reviews it, and somebody files it. That should be the very first dam or filter or loggerhead or whatever you want to call it that, you know, that weeds stuff out from going down the road. That's the first position's right there. Your first line of defense, hey, let's not file this case because somebody spilled some water. And let's not have free lawyers in that trial because somebody spilled some water, right? And I don't know all the facts of it, but to me, and I don't care that much, it was a significant waste of resources because if you juxtapose a spilled glass of water with the sex assault victims of West Valley.
Oh, well, we can get into that if we have time.
Well, the DA's office declined to file charges. They reviewed and they declined to file charges, right? So it's common knowledge in the legal community what happened there, right? And as far as I understand, the school board actually verified that the sex assault happened. I have not independently verified that myself, but I have it on pretty good authority, and I trust the source, right? And so, but again, the way Steffi just used those words, you know, it's not with that very soft tone, trying to appeal to emotions, you know. It's not very, I don't want anyone in my office to really say, I want to get this conviction because I want my numbers to go up because I want to be a supervisor, I want to be a DA sometime, right?
There's more, you're going to have fun with this.
It's win at all costs. That's what Steffi was just about. Go ahead.
That's it.
Best of all cases, it's on video with the confession. That is not justice for our community at all. And that is what I have always told everybody in my office, that we care about justice one case at a time.
Pause. Sorry. Does she care about justice so much that she has a training program for Brady? Because 5 years ago, in the court opinions that I have, the same argument the DAs always make. Well, we told the defense there was a report. Right, jackass, you have to go get it and turn it over. That's the law. And so where's Steffi Bridges' training program on justice and the Constitution? Because 5 years later, I just got the same arguments 3 weeks ago. Well, Judge, and in fact, Courtney Hagan, this young prosecutor who said, this was amazing what she said to me, or what she said to the judge. The judge's like, why didn't you turn this stuff over? And Courtney's like, well, surely, Your Honor, with all these, cause we call it moral turpitude, right, where there's this favorable evidence. Surely, Your Honor, with all these entries on the rap sheet, surely the court, the Constitution doesn't say that we're required to go get that and turn it over. And I sat there flabbergasted, completely dumbfounded, going, that's exactly what the Constitution said. You just said exactly what you're supposed to do, and you just said that surely is what the law means. And it does mean that. Like, I want to bang my head on the table going, you guys are idiots. I don't understand. Are you purposely just ignoring the Constitution? Is there a training program that says, hey, we're going to violate the Constitution any way we can?
Start the tape.
And it's very frustrating for me to see someone who wants to come into this position who would, from what they're putting out, appears to would promote cherry picking of cases so that their statistics are inflated.
Okay, stop the tape. I love how she says cherry picking cases. So the Zapata case was pretty cherry-picked.
Yeah, you think? She has how many? She has 27
prosecutors. Roughly, give or take. Yeah, I don't actually know the number.
And
so
three
I can't
were
speak
on that case.
Right.
It's a misdemeanor.
So you had two actual misdemeanors. So here's the funny thing. So one of the explanations for why there was two misdemeanor DAs in there was that there was three or four defense lawyers. I think it was just three defendants, right? Yeah. So when I was in Sacramento, back in my day, back before the wheel was invented, but back in my day, we would routinely go to trial with four and five defense lawyers as a single prosecutor. So you're telling me that you can't train a lawyer to handle three separate defense lawyers, that the case is so complicated that you're intellectually
unbelievable.
Minuscule, I don't know what word I want to use there. So many words are coming to my head. But like you don't have the ability to handle three separate defense lawyers.
Wow.
It's not rocket science, man. In fact, the law is clear. We get these things called CalCrims where you have to prove up elements. So that's your training map. You go pull the CalCrim, that's what you gotta prove, and you work backwards from there. So you know, bagging on Mr. Jensen because he's gonna cherry pick cases. Well, Steffi Bridges, that's exactly what you do.
Roll the tape.
Because I could have 100% conviction rate.
No, she couldn't.
Absolutely. If I picked all the cases that were the best and took them only to trial. But that's not justice. It is not justice. We are taking cases.
Okay, pause the tape for a second. So, in theory, in a perfect criminal justice system, very few cases should go to trial. Typically, those are going to be murders, domestic violence, cases where, and child molest, right? Where the exposure is 300 years to life, and the offer, say, is 200 years to life, right? Okay. So at that point, from the criminal defense standpoint, we're going to trial because every client has a constitutional right to go to trial, okay? And so, cherry picking and 100% conviction rate, you should have a 90% conviction rate at trial because those are the cases that you're forced to go to trial. Everything else should resolve. If you're analyzing the case the right way, if you have the appropriate legal acumen, if you have the appropriate trial skill set, things should resolve. We should come together and resolve them and not waste taxpayer dollars.
Sounds good. Roll the tape.
Trial where we have children who have been molested or who have been harmed, and a lot of times their own family members are testifying against them because the, let's say, the mom supports
the... You got to love her voice inflection. I mean, it's just classic, right? Super soft because these children have been harmed, and sometimes their family members...
West Valley?
West Valley Eagles. I went to West Valley, right? So what about those child victims,
yeah.
Right? So here's the crazy thing. Stephanie's talking about, well, we don't want to cherry-pick cases and take slam dunks to trial. We'll take hard cases to trial. Then take the West Valley case to trial, Stephanie. Okay? If that's a difficult case, take it to trial. Go ahead.
Offender and not the child, but that child has described in detail stuff that a 7-year-old child should not know. And we take that and we are going to fight for that victim in court because we believe that child. And
well,
if a jury ultimately comes out and says he's hung or not
guilty,
can we
pause there for a second?
Because they don't believe.
I know we got to get going. But real quick, I just had a child molest case that got dismissed after 4 years. The DA had all the evidence. It was pretty clear that that little girl had been sexually abused by her older brother. And her mom was a drug addict and had some boyfriends that did stuff. Absolutely 100%. She was a victim. My guy didn't do it, though. My guy is 100% innocent. And they kept him and were pursuing him because they thought he did it. Well, go. See, this is where the skill set comes in. Go back.
Let me get this straight. What happened is that they had a guy that was supposedly had done it.
Yeah, her dad. Really, the victim's dad.
But it was really the brother?
Correct. And then probably a mom's boyfriend. And so the DA had all this information. I wrote a pretty detailed email going, you're going to lose this trial. You really need to think about it because you're going to lose this trial, right? And so after a few months, I've had a case, I think, for 2 years. So going back and forth, finally I'm just like, hey, here, let me just point out all your problems for you. They took it under advisement, and then 3 months later they dismissed it. They were going to lose. Did that little girl get sexually molested? 100%. Did they have the right guy? 100% no. So why did it take so long to figure out you got the wrong guy?
Yeah.
Why waste all that? I mean, it just, again, it gets back to who are your lawyers and how are you analyzing cases? You know, not just like every victim of domestic violence that comes to the door isn't telling the truth.
Well, she does go on. We'll just hold it there because we're not going to be able to finish this. But
right.
She does go on to talk about how they had 10,000 cases that were brought to them last year. 8,000 were actually taken in. And she talks about how she only has 27, in her words, prosecutors. These particular 27, they used 3, as we had talked about before, on the Zapata misdemeanor trial. And she talks about being understaffed. We need more DAs. We need more of this. We need more of that. We need more of this. We need more of that. And here she uses the DAs on a political position that ends up being a low-level misdemeanor below a traffic ticket.
Right. And so what? So what do they get out of that? They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer dollars and no jail time, some probation. Great use of taxpayer resources, right? I don't think so, man. It gets back to Steffi's leadership and training. She's failed miserably, and I don't know, you know, people look up the definition of the word narcissist or narcissism. You know, she's got all these social media programs, right? Where I want these likes, look at me, it's all fluffy and hunky dory, and we're doing all stuff. Meanwhile, you pull the curtains back, the numbers don't lie. The stats don't lie, right?
Yeah.
The public is less safe now because of Steffi Bridget than before. Period. And taxpayers are spending thousands of dollars on cases that should never be prosecuted.
Wow.
Well, Sean, we're going to have you back.
No, say it isn't so, man.
Yeah, that was awesome. So anyway, it's the information you have right there is now you hear, I guess, both sides of the story.
Hey, Terry, I'm a pleasure to represent. I'll leave these with you guys. If your viewers
want to,
okay, you got, yeah, it's we're not hiding the ball here.
Okay. Anyway, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
You don't know us. You have no clue.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical.